I am Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie, and the sound barrier was broken.
It's been broken multiple times, damn it. Every time we fix it, they break it.
Right, but I fixed it this time with duct tape and staples.
Duct tape, staples. You were out of super glue?
Ran out yesterday.
And joining us is...
Misty Davies from NASA.
NASA.
We love
good
NASA.
Good morning.
Good morning. It has been so far.
Yes.
So, how are you at NASA?
I'm fantastic. This is especially coming to this event. I love getting to talk to all the pilots.
Yes,
I don't
this
get
is
to
Mecca.
Talk to this many. Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about what you do at NASA, what you're working on.
Yeah, thanks. So I am the project manager for a project called System-Wide Safety. The idea is that right now in the big airplanes, Part 121, there's this thing that we do called the safety management system. And frankly, it's part of the reason we think that, especially in the United States and Europe, that the safety record has gotten so good for these large aircraft. But it takes, honestly, an army of safety specialists and really, honestly, months to go from where you first think you see a signal that may or may not be a safety issue until you can get a mitigation in place. And so what the National Academies asked NASA to do is to expand that idea. First of all, to help the big airlines maybe do that faster, more efficiently. And second, to make it so that those same safety management system ideas are implementable, right, for the smaller carriers, for the Part 135, Part 91, maybe all the way down. So we've been building out data services, safety services, that we think automate a lot of the monitoring, assessment, mitigation for safety issues.
I would think that one of the biggest, well, one of the challenges is just the disparity in types of aircraft. I mean, when you think about airlines, how many different types of airliners are out there? 20, 30, 40, maybe 50?
Yeah, could be more
but
than
with,
that.
With GA, you've got thousands of different airplanes at over 100 years of flying.
Exactly. And actually getting... So it depends on the kind of safety service that you're looking at. So when we're building out safety services for vehicles, we have that problem, right? So now we have to actually understand how the vehicle is supposed to behave or to understand whether or not it's behaving like it should. But there's a lot of also airspace services that we can put in place. And, you know, there are fewer kinds of airspace than there are vehicles. And there's also these things that we think we can push off third party. Everybody needs to know about the weather, for example, right? And that can be a single sort of safety service that you just subscribe to no matter who you are for the region. Everybody might need to know about radio frequency interference no matter, you know, what kind of vehicle you're flying. So we do have to tailor each one of those services for the kind of safety issue we're looking at.
Well, yeah, that's what I was trying to figure out exactly what the safety service does. Now, it initially, it sounds like you track problems, and if there's trends, then you start looking deeper into each problem.
Right. So it can be everything from, for example, with the airlines, we'll look at FOCA data and LOSA data, and we'll look for precursors. We'll look to see if all of a sudden people start approaching the runway from a slightly different angle. For example, that happened to us at one point. We realized that a large building had been built downtown. And the pilots were sort of shifting over that they didn't like flying the route as close to that new building
right.
that had been built downtown. So that's the thing that we might do with the large airlines. You know, for the small drone operators, for example, you know, we do things there like, how good is your battery really, right? What is the health of your battery? And so those are those kinds of safety services that we can build there. Also for the small vehicles, you know, a big thing is flight over people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so we have a safety service, for example, called GRASP that uses cell phone signals to understand where the people are in your area.
Wow.
So that you know.
So you can sort of plot a course through them.
Yes. So that you can plot a course around them. Exactly.
Interesting. So that's something as a pilot, I would log on to your service. I would subscribe to your service. I mean, how's.
So most of the services we're pushing out right now, we're sort of putting out the prototypes. So they're open source. Companies can grab them. And what happens is we're partnering with companies then who take those services that we built out, the implementation prototypes, and then they integrate them into a service that they sell.
Okay. Okay. So I'm not directly working with NASA. I'm working with a provider that's building on your data, that's providing
usually.
Your data.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, I would imagine that NASA is also looking at terrain requirements as well, because it varies all across this country of ours. You know, you could be out here in the flatlands, or you could be flying mountains.
I require flat terrain, thank you. Put that in there.
Me too.
I don't require mountains in the way.
So as a sort of initial end-to-end proof of concept that we can push these safety management system ideas down into something to enable new operations, we've been working with the U.S. Forest Service and CAL FIRE on wildfire mitigation and management. And the idea there is that today, often, you know, we'd like to use, for example, the small unmanned vehicles for surveillance, but we have these incredibly skilled, you know, manned pilots, you know, acting as air boss, you know, running, you know, maybe you suddenly have an emergency, you need to run retardant out to protect a fire crew who got too close to a fire line, or you need to do logistical drops with manned folks. And so we don't really trust, understandably, these unmanned vehicles, you know, in the same space where you have to have people who
are incredibly skilled manned pilots. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So part of what we're doing is trying to figure out, is there a safety net we can build, right, so that we actually can do that safely? We can actually offload this really risky fly in the wind and the smoke low to the ground for surveillance mission that, frankly, we'd like to offload to the robot planes, so that we can leave the manned pilots to do the manned missions, right, for the really important, skilled, make decisions kind of work.
Yeah, well, you were talking about fire management, and I hate to say this, but that's become a real hot topic lately because we've had so many of them.
Right.
And a lot of people don't understand what's going on with these things, including at times, I imagine, the pilots, because a fire situation changes very rapidly.
Yeah, yeah, we can get, I mean, you know, negotiating what airspace we need to lock down for those wildfires, you know, that's really tricky, and almost every single one has to be different because of the situation. There's not a standard way to create that TFR, really.
Well, I think that most pilots, hopefully, are smart enough that once they see the smoke, they're going to avoid the area anyway.
Hope so.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's always that one fool. Oh, let's go take a look. Yeah.
Especially, you know, the folks with the unmanned.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, let me get a look. Let me fly my drone over there and take a look. Yeah. No thanks.
No, that could be very bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is a huge project, and it's going on for how long in years now you've been working with this?
So System-Wide Safety was first stood up in 2017. We had a good plan going 2018. We're about to wrap up. We sort of break the project up into technical challenges.
Mm-hmm.
So we have our first technical challenge around some of that work I told you with the airlines that's wrapping up next year. We'll have done what we said we were going to do, working with the airlines and finding those safety issues with the airlines. Our initial work around sort of specifying the initial data services for the small vehicles, that wraps up year after that, FY24. We've also got some work on actually, you know, mathematically proving that these things are going to do what they say they're going to do. Some of that work wraps up in 24. And then the work with the fire services, with U.S. Forest Service and CAL FIRE, that's ramping up now. That just started. And the first demonstration for that will be in FY25, the big one.
Are you actively involved in the process of CRM, cockpit management resources?
So cockpit resource management.
That's it.
There's a fantastic team that we collaborate with that are the subject matter experts on that. I am not. But yeah, those folks, we know how to get to them, and they give us lots of really great, you know, guidance, help. We pull them in for their expertise all the time.
You know, it never ceases to amaze me, all the projects that NASA is involved with.
Not just space.
It's not just moon rockets and stuff.
Yeah. It's spread across all of aviation, you know, all the way from these little small guys on the ground all the way up to space.
So it sounds like a very fertile direction for career opportunities.
Yes, it does.
Please. Yeah. I've been, especially here with this crowd, intern.nasa.gov, especially for the young guys.
Oh, there
come
you go.
Come on. Yeah.
Yeah, come on down. And
wait a minute. What about us older dudes?
You know, that's okay. Come on. That's fine. Yeah.
You can carry the mail around and deliver the mail.
I can sweep floors.
It's good. We need all these you know, I've learned so much just even yesterday in the NASA pavilion working with, you know, the pilots coming in. Because I don't usually get to talk to the GA pilots as much as I get to talk to the,
Yeah, and there's a lot of them out there. And you
and
know,
some of them are actually happy to talk to you.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fantastic. This is one of the best events that I get to work because usually I feel like I have to, like, take what I do and take it down to kindergarten level. And so it's fantastic to actually get to have real conversations with people who are flying.
People who can string words together.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, she won't feel that way after leaving us.
That's for sure.
Aww.
So that, it's such a, I'm still having trouble wrapping my head around how this is going to be used by the GA pilot.
So just the same way today, that you know, you might subscribe to a service or pull data down so that you have the information you need. So, for example, ForeFlight, right? Just that happened to be something that a pilot showed me just 2 days ago. You know, in the same way that you would make decisions based on the wind information that you just got, or, you know, here's the obstacle information, or the looking at all that on the screen, these are new services. Right, that probably a company like that would pick up. They would go, oh, and it just so happens that I now know there's also radio frequency interference over here. And you want to know about, you know, where the population is, right? Where the folks are actually gathering. And oh, there's a big thing at the stadium. Maybe you want to
Stay away from that. Okay, yeah. Well, that sounds like the future is now.
Yes, definitely.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us.
Misty Davies from NASA.
Got to look at the tag. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.